Check 1 2 1 2, bitch. What's good, what's popping, what's good, what up, people, this is episode
278
of the most consistent podcast in the year. Every year,
give me a hell yeah.
Logical sense. This is your boy Buzz B,
and over here it's your boy JC. No honey,
the earth was shaking. Did you feel that shit?
Rock me like a fucking baby. I felt violated.
Nah, man, for me, I was working out. I was literally doing my, like, yoga shit and all that. I was stretching, and all of a sudden, it just felt like it just shook. I was like, oh, I felt that. And I went back to stretching. It only lasted, like, a good, probably, like, six seconds
It lasted 10 seconds for me, because it was a multitude of things that happened at work. And then all of a sudden, it just led to my chair shaking.
Oh, shit.
And I'm like, oh, all right. And then, surprisingly, I was the only one in the area that felt it. But I'm like, that was an earthquake, I know. And then that's when I knew everybody else were coming in like, earthquake, earthquake.
Okay. That's everyone's first response. They go on Twitter and tweet out, earthquake! Like, all right. Our soccer team out here, the Earthquakes, they were so they were funny as hell. They tweeted out, hello.
Yep. Give the social media manager a raise.
For real, just so simple, just... Hello.
How was your weekend?
It was chill. Saw that movie Black Adam.
Yep, I'm going to see that this week.
It was exactly what you think it is.
Oh, I believe it.
You know, it's The Rock as a superhero. And that's it. Like, I don't ask for nothing more. Like, it made like $67 million at the box office, making it Rock's first, like, as the lead role. This is his biggest opening, like, ever.
Nice.
In a leading role, which is kind of shocking. So it's like the biggest since Aquaman and shit like that, and made a whole lot of money. Yep. Shout out to The Rock, and he campaigned the fuck out of that shit because the critics were shitting on it, but he got the audience score up to 90% on Rotten Tomatoes. Sus, he's the people's champion for a reason.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, shout out to The Rock.
My weekend was cool. Went up to my grandparents. It's my grandma's birthday.
Oh, that's what's up. So,
food in abundance.
Nice.
And there's more food in abundance when there's leftovers on Sunday.
Oh, those are the best ones.
Yep.
Shit. Want to get to sports now?
No, a lot of shit happened.
I know a lot of shit happened.
No, you can suffer.
All right, I'm not suffering. I'm just asking you a question. We're both... Well, you're not suffering. I'm not suffering. So, whatever.
Well, you felt the type of way.
Annoyance, but then...
That's suffering. That ain't anything. Anything that doesn't have...
Okay, let me put it this way. I wasn't annoyed. I was like, nope. It was like, I felt like I was in the Jordan Peele movie. After something happened, I was like, nope. Yeah, and then went right back to work. Like, no.
Right.
So, you won't break my soul.
No, get your own song.
It's just a quintessential song.
Nah, you get your own song. You're still in contention for the playoffs. What are you talking about?
Are we?
Yeah. What are you talking about?
Anyway, Kanye West, bring your ass.
Just when we said we weren't going to talk about
it. Did you press the button?
No, not yet. There you
go. Oh. He can't go into jail.
I think he can. What the fuck are you talking about?
See that motherfucker.
Somebody did this.
Yeah. We said we weren't going to talk about it, but just more shit keeps coming out. So this is what happens when keeping it real goes wrong. These are the consequences for your actions. So, since Kanye said all the stuff about all good Jewish people, this is what happened. You got the things ready?
All right.
First off, Balenciaga cut ties.
Let's go. Rapid pace.
Vogue and Ann Wintner cut ties. Got dropped by his talent agency, CAA. Got dropped by his lawyer. His streams and sales and airplane went down. Got restricted from Instagram and Twitter. Stadium shows got canceled. Got a documentary that got shelved. And here's the kicker, which just dropped today. Adidas cut ties with him. He is no longer a billionaire, which is what he wanted. This is what all this started. I was thinking about this shit. All of this shit started when he had issues with Adidas and Gap. He wanted out of that contract. And he did everything. He talked shit about the CEO. He went on Twitter to talk shit about them. He did the ABC shit. And then all of a sudden, he showed up in Paris with a White Lives Matter shit and went scorched earth. And now he got dropped from all his contracts, which is what he wanted.
Yeah, too bad it's for the wrong reasons.
No, it's like, for
the... You know, I understand doing some things to get dropped, which is fine.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes that shit just don't make no sense. It's like, okay, so now... What do you call being anti-Semitic genius? You know what I mean? Like, you can't even say it's, oh, that's genius to do.
It's not, you know, genius. What I mean? That was just, that's just crazy. That's what it is. It's nuts. In his own warped mind, he's thinking this shit. And I feel he's going to shut up now. Because this is what he, every time he gets what he wants out of people, he disappears. That's what he does. Like when he'll go crazy, drop his music or his merchandise, and then he'll shut up. This is what I feel is going to happen. He's going to shut up now. Or I could be wrong. He could make it worse. But it... whatever. It is what it is. And now everyone's all coming out saying, oh... Everyone's all coming out saying, oh, he's what's it called? Black folks should have did this to begin with. Da-da-da-da. And I'm just like... There's no such thing as being canceled. They said, yeah, he's no longer a billionaire, but he's still worth over $250 million. That's still a lot more money than I don't have. So, he'll be all right.
I mean, it's all about perspective, though.
That, too.
You know, yeah, he's got a lot more money, sure.
Uh-huh.
It's a lot less money than he had to start off with, and it was almost half that got cut.
Literally.
So, like yeah, he has it, and in comparison to everybody else, sure. But some people can get canceled. You know what it's called?
What?
Murder.
Yeah.
It's called, you know what else they call it? Career suicide.
That, literally.
So, just because... social media don't cancel you doesn't mean that we haven't seen people get canceled before.
Oh my god, yeah, this is I told you, like, this is bad. Them Jewish folks don't play, man. And then it got even worse over this weekend in LA. Them neo-Nazi motherfuckers had signs out there. I think this is what caused it. When them neo-Nazis had a sign that said Kanye was right about the Jewish people, that's when everybody was like, nope, 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 and they just cut ties.
Nope.
Aaron Donald and Jillian, and who else? Jillian Brown and Jaylen Brown, they dropped out of Donda Sports. Foot Locker got told to pull all the Yeezy shoes off the shelf. It's just, it's done. Kanye did what he said he wanted to do. He went scorched earth, and this is what happens. You think he bounces back from this?
I don't care. Well, I genuinely don't care.
Mm.
It's disgusting what he chose to do and how he went about it, so I don't care.
Philly.
I don't care about anything really Kanye related.
I don't blame you. Trust me. I was listening to Kendrick's Mortar Man and Savior, and they kind of go, they're like the yin and yang of each other, or they're both pretty much the same. It's like, when shit is the fan, are you still a fan? And but at the same day, they are not your savior.
Yeah. And it's different when you cause the shit to hit the fan.
Yes. It'll be one thing if other shit happened. Like, when it comes to, like, Michael Jackson, when all the allegations came out and shit, and he was just, like, depressed and shit, he had all that shit, that's one thing. But when you caused it yourself, and then you try to play victim, ugh. Dirty world, man. Anyway. I don't know. Prayers up. Kendrick Lamar, round of applause. It has been exactly 10 years... It's been 10 years since Good Kid, Mad City.
Yep.
And on that same day, that's when he performed down in Paris for the Big Steppers tour at the same time, which was, that was a good show. I mean, I watched it on Amazon Prime, and it was literally the whole show. They showed Baby Keem's opening act and the other dude's opening act and Kendrick at the same time, and shit, that was fucking fire. But you know, when you reminisce on Good Kid, Mad City, how do you feel about it?
Same way I felt after my first listen.
Mm-hmm.
It's an instant classic. And I remember people that were fighting it. I mean, it sounds good, but let's just wait and see. What?
What was it, supposed to get trash?
What kind of shit is that?
Like, is the album supposed to get trash, like, later on down the line? Is it going to be outdated and shit?
Yeah, I just remember people trying to make it at its very best. Oh, this is a West Coast classic.
Oh, yeah, I remember niggas saying that shit. It's a West Coast classic. I remember I was looking at reviews that would praise literally the entire album, and then at the final rating, it would be a 4.5 out of 5.
Yep.
They were too scared to give it a perfect score. It's literally a perfect album. Oh yeah, and also, I guess it was the number one best concept album of all time. I'm like, really?
It was Rolling Stone. Yeah.
You really consider it one of the best concept albums, but number one?
I'm telling you, I don't pay attention to Rolling Stone.
Me neither. But man, there's other concept albums that were really good. Like what's this, the Roots album,
Undone.
That was good. I feel like there's other concept albums that are out there, but yeah, that was great. And see what else was going on. And when it goes to music, Aubrey Drake Graham, happy birthday, by the way. Like, he turned 36. Round of applause for that young man. And he announced, he showed the Jimmy Cooks video with him and 21 Savage. But then in the middle of the video, they announced that him and 21 Savage are going to drop a collab album. I was right, people, or you guys were right. Darby Angels in the streets.
Oh my God! Okay, it's happening. Everybody, stay calm.
What's the procedure, everyone? What's the procedure?
Stay calm.
It's called Her Loss.
I was right too.
How are you? Oh yeah, both of us were right. Hey, round of applause for both of us.
What did you predict?
I said the album's coming out on the 28th. I didn't predict it, but that's what the streets were saying.
Oh, I'm not talking about that.
Oh, what did you?
I'm talking about when I said his new deal, he's going to drop it.
Oh, yeah, whenever he wants. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's going to be exactly whenever he wants to do. I called this from when he dropped. Honestly, never mind.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, he signed a new deal, and he basically put the label in a 360. That means in any given quarter, he can drop, and there's nothing they can do about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
exactly what's going on.
A report came out from Hits Daily Double saying that was more of a surprise for Republic than us. Like, they found out the same time we found out. And right. I was just like,
that's exactly how I said it was going to go down. All they can do is push the buttons and promote it.
Yeah. It's dropping. Yeah, pretty much on this Friday, on the 28th, there's a lot of music that's dropping. Division is dropping. He's dropping the same day as his own artist, which I thought was fucked up. But the way the rollout's been going, I don't blame him. I would have dropped too. Division. What are you going to eh?
Because the second song was wonderful. The one that features Jagged Edge.
Oh. Mm. I think the first song kind of scared people off a bit.
Yeah, but the second one definitely brought them back.
Okay.
But again, Division's not really the name out there.
Mm-hmm.
So I get it. But no, that second song was, yeah. Mm-hmm. They actually should have kept that one. They shouldn't have released that one yet.
You think it should have been a first single?
No, they shouldn't have released it at all.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I get it because it's the concept behind the videos. They're all tied together, so
yeah.
I understand it. However, if there was a way that they could have hid that till release date,
mm-hmm.
that would have been the one to bring everybody's ears to that album.
Let's see. That happened. West Side Gunn's dropping his DJ Drama album and shit like that, which is wow.
Yeah, let's not talk about what's coming. Let's talk about what's dropped already.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I've Snowman. Been waiting, baby.
Oh, I'm not focused on Jeezy. I'm not focused on Snoop, and I'm not focused on NBA YoungBoy right now.
Who you focused?
I'm focused on DJ Drama.
Round of applause for that young man.
We're not talking about them right now. Yeah. We're talking about Drama.
I remember when DJ Khaled came out and we were saying, like, it'd be nice if we get a Gangsta Grillz album or a Gangsta Grillz mixtape. That would be nice. You're welcome, people. Every time we say something on this podcast, it always manifests into something. But I didn't think it was going to be like this. God damn. So in a span of...
And technically, we haven't gotten a Gangsta Grillz album yet. You said a Gangsta Grillz album. That's Drama.
DJ Drama.
Yeah, I'm talking about when it's just him.
Oh, just him. Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Gangsta Grizzles.
Because he has those and he's got those. But these are the artists. However, I'm focused on Drama because it just seemed like he's just knocking them out left and right.
Literally.
I thought Simba's debut was already top notch and it's like, oh, it's a Gangsta Grillz.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Started off the year, Dreamville popped off, and it was, oh, this is the Gangsta Grillz.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get 3 for 1.
Yeah.
In the span of 24 hours.
Literally. Snoop Dogg, NBA YoungBoy, and Jeezy. Back to back to back on the same day. Or 2 days, like 24 hours apart. And then now you're telling me coming soon is going to be West Side Gunn? Nigga, what?
He said he's not done. He said he got probably 2 more.
Woo-hoo!
And then he has his own Gangsta Grillz. That's what I'm saying. He is dropping Gangsta Grillz.
That's fucking... Man, RIP to live mixtapes and Dat Piff. You guys are like a non-factor now.
Yeah, and these joints are mixtapes. Mm-hmm. This, if you want to know what a mixtape is, don't focus on that streaming shit, where it is or whatever. This is a mixtape.
Mm-hmm. Hey, you got a Grammy off the Gangsta Grills for a fucking from Tyler the Creator.
Right.
Yes. So, well, you call that a mixtape or an album?
That's a mixtape.
The Sorry For Your...
Now, you can say, oh, they made the album, it's an album, they did the whole feel, but that feeling is a mixtape. It doesn't matter where it's like...
He's talking throughout the entire album.
But it's not just... So that's the thing. Motherfuckers could talk.
Mm.
You gotta host. Mm-hmm. He's a host.
Yeah.
Anybody could just go on and just talk on records.
Yeah.
But Drama hosts these projects, and yes, it gives the nostalgia of the Gangsta Grills, which was the pinnacle peak of mixtapes.
Yes, he does.
So... That's why he gets his praise and he gets his flowers right now, because he's saying he's already dropped these, and a good portion of the drops he's released are going to be in conversations for rap album of the year.
Dead ass.
And now he's saying he still got more.
He got more on the way. That's like, and they kind of, now I'm just worried, like, who's next? Like, what other artists? Give me some shit if it's Kendrick.
I want to know. I'm. Kendrick was fine.
Just straight rapping.
No, I know, but he's busy touring. I'm not even... Like, I know it's a joke. I'm just... Mm-hmm, yeah, I'm trying to focus on other artists.
I get it.
But in terms of Drama,
mm-hmm.
It brings up a good question. Who are collaborators not in groups? So it's not... They're not an official duo. Mm. It's just two artists that come together... And when they come together, you know it's nothing else matters. That's what you're listening to that night.
Like they,
in terms of a producer, a rapper, or a rapper and a DJ.
Oof. Hitboy and Nas. That's not. Is that?
I'm not limited. I'm going. The first one comes to mind is Snoop and Dre.
Snoop. I mean, yeah. I was trying to do the obvious. Snoop and Dre.
Well, that's what I'm saying. A Mount Rushmore.
Oh, Mount Rushmore. Yeah, Snoop and Dre. I want to say. Alchemist and I want to say Freddie Gibbs, but man, Alchemist and somebody else. I see the rapper, but he's just not a 40 and Drake.
Are you about Mount Rushmore?
No, I'm Rushmore. I just put it out there.
Well, I'm talking about Mount Rushmore. I'm talking about all time.
All time?
Like, all,
okay, yeah. So,
we're talking about all
so
time.
Dre and Snoop. Who else? Manny Fresh and Wayne? No. Damn, it sounds easy, but there's so many people. Like, who else?
Put on Drama and Jeezy.
Drama and Jeezy, yeah. Drama and Jeezy. You know Drama and Wayne?
Yes and no.
Hmm.
I say yes because you can't deny the importance of those dedication mixtapes.
Mm-hmm.
However, what's up for debate is the quality moving forward. You really ain't heard much of a bad tape when it's Drama and Jeezy.
DJ Khaled and... I was going to say Drake, nah. Because Khaled has good... Every time you hear Khaled kind of come with somebody...
I'm coming out with one because you're on the nose, but you haven't named him yet. Rick Ross and Justice League.
Rick Ross and Justice League, yeah. Yeah, that's four. Rick Ross and Justice League, Dre and Snoop, Jeezy and Drama, Rick Ross and Justice League. Oh, man. M and Dre?
You can put him up there, but I already got Dre.
Yeah, you already got Dre there. We already got Dre... I feel like there's another artist collab that's really just Kanye and Pusher.
They're great, but for me, it's not.
Kanye and Neptunes? Oh, no, not Kanye and Neptunes. Neptunes and Pharrell? Or Pharrell and Pusha T?
No, because it's more of a duo.
I know, with Clips.
That's what I'm saying. Eliminating groups is just two entities.
Yeah, no,
Neptunes is two and Clips is two, but that's four people. I'm talking about one... And one.
Pusher and Kanye. When, as soon as you hear Pusher has a song with Kanye, regardless of what's going on right now, if it's Pusher and Kanye's on production, you know you're about to hear some shit.
I respect your opinion, but I don't necessarily feel like that all the time.
Not all the time?
No. That's why I told you I didn't like this one that much. Yeah. Not that I didn't like it.
You didn't like Kanye's production this time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Compared to Daytona. Yeah, I hear you. I hear you on that one.
I mean, compared to a lot of stuff, it's not a bad combination. I'm just talking about all time. Like, I can't just throw names in there for against all timers.
You talking when you about
hear
rappers?
Dre and, when you hear Dre and Snoop, I don't think you can name a bad record they've come across together.
Mm-mm, nothing bad.
When you hear Drama and Jeezy, you can't think of a bad tape that they were a part of.
Mm-mm. Fucking Ross and Hove.
I put him up there with Justice League.
Okay.
I'm not talking about artist and artist.
Just artist and
I'm
producer.
Talking about producer, artist, or DJ artist.
Oh, DJ artist. Okay.
Yeah.
E-40 and Rick Rock?
Okay, here's the thing, though. Rick Rock never produced an entire 40 album.
Okay, never mind that.
So that's what I'm getting at is
someone.
I'm thinking about whole collaborations.
Whole collaboration.
When they come together, it's not just a song. It just ain't something to talk about for 24 hours.
Common and Kanye. Yeah.
I liked it for an album. I didn't like it much further after that.
Who else?
Because again, when I say all time, I'm talking about there's bodies of work.
Like so
B
consistent.
B was just
one
great
album,
but it wasn't necessarily like again. You say Snoop and Dre because Snoop was the one that was featured on The Chronic,
mm-hmm.
and then Dre went and just added vocals to interludes and quick ad libs and shit, and he handled the production.
This is a good question though, because I'm thinking of like a lot of artists, but a lot of people didn't really do a lot. Like they
came and went.
Yeah, literally came. I feel Talib Kweli and High Tech did a hell of shit together.
Yeah, they're Reflection Eternal.
Reflection Eternal.
But they're a group. I wasn't talking about a group.
No. I mean, they did multiple shit together, though. I think they did.
But they created a group called Reflection Eternal.
Shit. Because every time you see that, you see the name.
The album. But they came together as a duo.
Yeah, I'm trying to think.
So
like,
I'm taking it away. Because, again, Snoop and Dre don't have... They're not a group.
Yeah.
Jeezy and Drama aren't a group.
Yeah, so I guess I guess all Mount Rushmore is Drama and Jeezy, Dre and Snoop. That's two, and then there's two, and damn, there's two more. Then you might as well count Drake in 40.
Yeah, they redid the sound.
You might as well count them.
I want to make sure that I cross my T's and dot my I's though before I do that.
Yeah.
Because don't get me wrong, they're up there for sure. They're up there with Ross and Justice League.
Then Nas, you might as well get Nas and Hit Boy because they're doing like they're about to drop King Disease 3 on the 11th of the next month. So that's like three multiple projects back to back to back with Nas and Hit Boy.
It's a great one.
Yeah,
I wouldn't go all time though, only because this is the latter part of Nas's career. Everybody I've spoke of. It's at the beginning.
They
become synonymous with each other. Now, not to say that Nas and Hit-Boy aren't synonymous with each other now, but when you think of some of Jeezy's greatest records, they were on Gangsta Grills.
Yeah.
When you think of some of Snoop's greatest records, Dre was behind the boards.
Yeah.
I
would say M and Dre, but you already added Dre.
Right.
So, yeah.
But yeah, no, that's definitely one for people to think about.
Mm-hmm.
Again, combinations are when they're not an official group or duo, you really got to go back and think.
Yeah. Really think, like think really hard. I thought I could get it, but I was just like, I don't know. Like, because there's so many combinations and some of them only happened for like one album.
Right.
One album and then that was it.
Right.
So... That's a good question.
That's why I kept it to rap, because an easy answer is always going to go to
Michael. Yeah, but
Michael
if we go beyond that, we go to Michael and Quincy and fucking Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis and Janet Jackson and and who else? Who else was like, when you see the producer, you know who they associated themselves with. Max Martin and hella fucking people. Like, shit, man. Good times. I just love music, man.
Yeah. And we had now we can get into the music.
Mm-hmm. Fucking another Gangsta Grills presentation presented by DJ Drama. This time with Jeezy. Snowfall.
Right. And as soon as I Am Hoja came out, like baby. I said, start September, I was like, oh, they're dropping something.
Mm-hmm.
I already know.
Jesus is This shit not.
Not a lot of features, and I was cool with it. Mm-hmm.
Jeezy carried this whole album.
Yeah. But he tapped in with Doug. He tapped in with... Oh, man. He tapped in. There's a three-man weave, and I love when three-man weaves happen late in the album. No. Not just I like them, but I love them. Mm-hmm. When they happen late in the album, that lets you know this is a strong project. Mm-hmm. Three-man weave happens in the first six songs. I get worried. Three-man weave happening at track 12. Mm-hmm. We got something. You know shit. You know shit when drama stops the vocals and just cuts in, talks, and rewinds it. Mm-hmm. Man, come on, bro. Come on. You know how I feel about New Jack Swing.
Yeah, as soon as I heard that, I was like, oh, JC's gonna love this shit. And how deep, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That's when you always had to put the three-man weave. Always put it in the middle. Or towards the end.
Yeah. Gotta put what you perceive as your strongest tracks later on. Otherwise, it's just gonna feel like sugar.
Yeah.
It's not gonna feel like a meal. Scarface into How Deep into Grammy. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I deserve a Grammy for the Grams I saw.
My God Almighty.
Give me a hell, yeah!
Man.
You know what I enjoyed about this, too?
Mm.
The horns were on full blast, so it just felt like he went back to the trap.
Yeah.
Drama was in peak form. It just, when drama talks over a Jeezy record, it's... You kind of, there's not many words to describe that. This You're album, just getting them both in an element, in a zone where you just get out the way.
This album made me appreciate Jeezy a lot more because it's been a long time since he's tapped into that side of his, I guess that side of his artist. Because for the longest time, he's kind of toned down a lot. You know what I mean? Especially with the last, what's it called, Thug Motivation and shit like that. It was more like that album, even though I love that album. It wasn't like all trap sounding and shit. It was more smooth sounds, and he was being more retrospective on his career. This one, he was like, you know what? I'm going to give my fans what they want. I'm going to give them vintage Jeezy. And that's what he gave us.
Right. And to learn years later now that the reason why we were getting those records was because he was saying, oh, those records are 10 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to own my master, so I got to do some shit that isn't, you know. I wouldn't put this shit out, but I got to fulfill obligations that way I could get to the masters.
Yeah.
So, once you put that in context, again, which is another reason why I don't say, I'm not that quick to jump on albums and be like, oh, I'm never going back to it. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes when context like that comes out,
yeah,
then I want to go back in and be like, wow, you did this 10 years ago? Wait a minute. It changes things a little bit.
Because
now you're not looking at it like, oh, you just recorded this and put this out. No, at that point, you're like, wait, you recorded this 10 years ago?
Seriously.
Who would have been on it? And then you start listening. It becomes fun in certain aspects. You're not listening to try to prove yourself this is a good record. Mm-hmm. You're listening to it trying to see, oh, well, if they really pushed it like this, who could have been a feature for this? Or how could they have mixed this in with a record that actually made another album?
Yeah.
So you find that, but... He, after all that got was said and done, he came on Snowfall and was like, okay, that's all done with. Let's go.
This is my favorite track right here. MJ Jeezy. When I heard this, I was like, oh, what's this? And then I looked and I was like, MJ Jeezy. I'm like, oh, you know how to get me, huh, motherfucker? And Justice League?
Yeah, there's no way he could miss with the producers. Everybody came back.
Yeah.
Justice League, Don Cannon, D. Rich. There was no way Jeezy was going... He could not fail on this album. Whatever the fuck this is. Mixtape. He couldn't fail on this.
He's a project, man. This shit.
Don't label this as a project.
Well, mixtape. Yeah. This is vintage Dat Piff, my mixtapes.
That was the only thing missing.
Yeah.
DatPiff.com.
DatPiff.com. I still can't believe they're still around, too. They really are still around.
Yeah. Some people just want the traditional, and they want the original sounds. I don't blame them.
I don't blame them either, man.
And because just because you put songs on streaming platforms doesn't mean that they're going to be sample cleared either. I don't know if you've heard some of these mixtapes. They've had to change the beats on several records.
Yeah, they do.
So
yeah,
that's why that Piff stays around.
Yeah. Be appreciative of that Piff, man. But yeah, Jeezy, round of applause, man. That's, you gave the people what they wanted, and that's good shit.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. A lot of good music out this year, man. A lot. People are saying, oh, this was a mid-year for music. I looked at my list like, nigga, what the fuck you been listening to? The fuck?
One listening to Snoop.
I didn't listen to the Snoop shit. How was that? Didn't sound.
Oh man,
vintage Snoop. I think I listened to like a few tracks, but I was like in the.
So middle. First of all, I didn't know Jane Hancock was actually from here in the Bay.
Oh, you know that?
Mm-mm.
Oh wow, yeah. Yeah. I think I met her a few times. Hella cool. For sure. Met her with Karina.
Second of all,
mm-hmm.
Snoop producing records like this.
Is this Girls Love Snoop?
No, Lime and Squeeze.
Lime and Green. Okay. Yeah, that Dillinger on this bitch. Oh shit!
Somebody did this.
And Snoop produced this?
No, it's on his album. This one of his artists.
Oh okay.
I'm just saying the vibe setting up. Now, if you want to get into Snoop,
yeah. I heard that track.
Yeah, Stressmatic. Yeah, Snoop came with it.
Yeah, it sounds like it. That's still crazy. When Khaled dropped, I remember we sat here like, man, Drama needs to drop some Gangsta Grillz out. Oh, Gangsta Grillz mixtape. He needs to bring those back. And I guess Drama just felt our presence and was like, you know what? You right. It's on the DDP. Monkey.
Yeah, no, I give all the credit to Tyler, the Creator.
Seriously.
I believe these
that sparked it.
I believe these were already in the works. It had nothing to do with us speaking it. By the time we already said something, he already dropped two. Mm-hmm. I think that's the thing, too. We could give us credit.
But
the thing of it is that it would be different if we just said it out of nowhere. He need to drop it from Gangsta Grillz. But he actually did. He started at the top of the year.
No, we brought it up last year. Actually, when Khaled dropped the other album, Khaled, and we roasted the shit. That's when we brought it up. We brought it up last year.
Yeah, well, then thank us.
That was before Tyler dropped.
Oh
too.
Yeah, I don't know about the time frames and shit.
You're supposed to be the one with the memory. Yeah, when we were dissing Khaled's album, I think I said, "Yeah, Drama needs to come back." I was like, "He needs to bring the Gangsta Grillz back," and then that's when Sorry, Call Me If You Get Lost came out. Although that's one, and then it just started piling up, and I'm like, well, damn.
Yeah. If you ever had any reason to not listen to NBA YoungBoy, this ain't the project. This is not the one. Before we begin, baby, you know the rules. Ma, I got a family. That's the name of the album or the mixtape. If you ever had a reason to skip NBA YoungBoy. Sorry, this ain't the one. You actually gotta tune in. The way this motherfucker starts. I'm telling you, Drama just brings you. It's a privilege and honor to be on a tape with Drama.
Mm-hmm.
And he. Say what you want about being a young boy. He elevated to start this off.
This is his what project? How many projects
is this? This is his sixth of the year.
Damn. I thought. Yeah, him and Currency, man.
Been waiting, baby.
I was on my jog when I pressed play. I said, oh no, I'm on my run now.
She started like running like the damn T-1000 from Terminator. How long is this album? Like how many?
45 minutes.
Damn. So you know, that'll be short ass tracks. 19 tracks, 46 minutes, 36 seconds. That's a good one. That's a good amount.
Yeah, now my running shoes immediately turned into black Air Force Ones.
A Gangsta Grill special edition.
Yeah. Yeah, that drama that you there is press play on all three dramas this that he released this past weekend, because man,
that's
every single one of them was incredible.
Yeah. I don't think I talked about that. I already talked about it earlier, how I said I went back and... Oh, yeah, I did it off the air. Yeah, I went back and re-listened to Honestly Nevermind for the first time in a minute. And it actually got better to me. And yeah, I let that shit sit for a while, and I went back and re-listened to it when I was working and all that. And I'm like, this is not a bad album. And then maybe people were being a little too harsh on Aubrey. And then, fucking, I was just thinking, oh, yeah, there's another thing I forgot to say on here when it comes to Aubrey's album from what I was reading in the Aubrey streets, in the Aubrey Angel streets. I guess Drake didn't like the response to Honestly Nevermind, and he's going to have a... And that's one of the reasons why he wanted to drop this album, because he was kind of irritated about the response.
You think? And we talked about it in depth a few episodes ago.
He was irritated about that. And they say there's still going to be shots at Pusher, which I hope is not real. But
I don't care about the content of it.
I know.
It's just
make it be good.
Be told, I'm no... That's all subjective. I was just focused on, okay, how does this roll out? How does this work? What does this look like? And... Seems like he already had this in play, because to make the final song with 21 Savage, that wasn't done by accident.
Three albums in 18 months. That's nuts. Nigga saying.
Not if you're drama.
I know, right? I know, but for someone like Drake, three albums in 18 months. Nigga's on Twitter saying Drake has a gambling problem. He's doing this for gambling debt. That shit was funny. But
I mean, yeah. What'd you say? Not the gamma problem, but how many albums and how many months?
Three albums in 18 months.
I mean, Tupac was supposed to do it in 16.
Yeah.
The only reason why I got pushed back was, you know, I had to kind of wait a little bit.
You know, because, you know,
kind of not here to promote it.
Little situation happened in Vegas, yeah. You know. You know, he had to catch a flight to Cuba, you know.
Yeah, but the thing it is, Pac did it.
DMX did it. He did two albums in 1 year, and they both went platinum.
And he did three albums in... he dropped the first one that May, I think, 98.
Yeah.
There was two second albums. One December. And then... Yeah, but I'm saying... Yeah, and then there was X. Came out the very next December.
Yeah.
So he dropped three in a 17, 18 month span. Yeah, 17, 18 month span.
Yeah. That's good, man. But hey, man, whatever. This is the collab I did not expect. Like 21 Savage and Drake, no one asked for that. But all right,
a lot of people have actually asked for it.
A 21 Savage and Drake project.
When you do enough records that they do, they've done enough records for there to be a response.
I probably want more of a Rick Ross album, Drake and Rick Ross album.
Nobody's saying that wasn't. We're not talking about. Pecking order.
Well, I know.
I'm just talking about if anybody asks for it. And if you go and look at the responses at their songs, yeah, people have been have put this on the list. May not be higher than a Ross and Drake album, but those responses are pretty strong.
I guess.
I saw some people actually retweet themselves when they said it a while ago.
Because they haven't missed, that's what they say. I'm like, yeah. I guess. But yeah, that's in 21 Savage. He's one of the artists I've actually like. He's
top
like
five.
His most improved.
Like not five ones that I came around to, probably number one.
Yeah, it's him, 2 Chainz, Rick Ross, and I think Young Thug a little bit too.
I still can't believe you took 2 Chainz and Rick Ross for granted.
Well, I just didn't. It was around that time period when I was more into like the rapping shit, and I wasn't really into the turn up like that. And then like years later, when I go back and listen to it, I'm like, okay, I get it now. And I'm older, so I was like younger, and I thought I knew everything. Players fuck up.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
What?
I was younger and I thought I knew everything.
Yeah.
A lot of people won't admit that.
Yeah. Younger, I thought I knew everything. So, you know, players fuck up. It is what it is.
Yeah. Salute to you.
Oh, yeah.
There's another album. Oh, my gosh.
What? Who's this?
You ever heard of this man called Babyface?
I think so.
He's back.
He's back. This is his first album or something? I'm kidding.
How'd he be back for the first time? What are you talking about?
I'm kidding, nigga.
Oh my god! Okay, it's happening! Everybody stay calm!
What's the procedure, everyone? What's the procedure?
Look this up.
This is, Babyface Girls Night Out. In other words, some people are saying Waiting to Exhale 2.0.
Yeah.
All the features are women.
Ari Lennox, Kalani, Ellie
This
Mae.
One is called Say Less, featuring Tiana Major 9.
Queen Naja, Coco Jones.
Yeah, Coco Jones from, Bel Air.
Mm-hmm.
Hillary.
Yeah, yeah. Tink, Baby Kate. Oh, man.
This is great. But if you thought this was some, remember when I told you when T-Pain came out and started remixing T-Pain?
Yeah.
Damn.
Ooh, who's this? I know, but what song is this?
The Recipe.
Money Long.
Feature Money Long.
Money Long, yeah.
You know what else is great about this album?
What?
Bridges.
Oh, he brought Bridges.
There's
back?
Bridges.
Oh, so he really
two verses, Bridges, and then just letting your singer just lose their mind to close it out.
Oh wow, yeah, that's how I know it's on the Kalani out record too. Yeah. It's good music, man.
And I've been waiting, baby.
Yeah, Babyface is just different.
That's good.
People should have known during the verses that he's a Candyman.
Mm-hmm. He's a Candyman.
Yeah, leave him alone.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes he has to come out and remind you exactly what it is. And what I enjoyed about that project was it doesn't sound forced to sound like the 80s and the 90s.
It just sounds natural. He adapted.
And the crazy thing is that he made modern day adapt to him in a strange way. It wasn't even like he adapted. He just took on and recognized, okay, this is the sound. But now with the sound, we're going to add some bridges.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to add some runs. We're going to do everything that went on with it. So in essence, yeah, it wasn't, I'm not adapting.
You guys adapted
yeah,
to me.
Yeah, we're going to find a common ground, but you're going to know this is Babyface.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, man, that was a great R&B album. That actually made me want to, because I realized I had skipped over Money Long's album that dropped either the start of the year or the end of last month.
Mm-hmm.
I went back and I was like, oh, yeah, she not playing.
Some good shit.
Yeah.
A lot of good music coming out, man.
I didn't listen to Taylor Swift, but.
Well, we got to give her a round of applause, yeah. Man. We didn't think it was going to happen in this era anymore. Taylor Swift said, think I'm pussy? Her album, Midnights, is going to sell between 1.3 to 1.5 million units
yep.
with the bundle packs. And she, I guess her and her team got like hella fucking like other versions of the album out there. It was like a 3 a.m. edition album, which is like their deluxe edition with more tracks.
Okay.
There's hella vinyls out there. Her fans went hard for this shit. They sold over 500,000 of the vinyls and shit like that.
What kind of shit is that?
That's nerf, nigga. 1.3 to 1.5 million. I'm like, holy shit.
And you know what people probably still said?
What?
Who's really listening to Taylor Swift like that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You niggas go outside, nigga. And it made me really think about Beyonce. I'm like, because I really thought Beyonce was going to sell. I won't say she was going to sell 1.3 million. Maybe just a milli?
No.
Because she did the same. Her vinyls sold out and shit, too. She had like a little bundle pack.
No.
That puts things in perspective. That really puts things real life in perspective.
You're still missing something.
What am I missing? What?
It's still a young artist game.
And man, Taylor Swift is young.
Beyonce had her time in the 2000s and the 2010s. That's not to say she still can't put product out and be at an elite.
Yeah.
But the face of what's going on, that's
Taylor Swift.
She is, again, her work is done. Everything now, she's playing with house money.
Yeah, true.
Taylor Swift could still be trying to prove something.
True. Yeah, especially and after her masters got taken and shit.
Right.
Yeah.
Again, that's not to diminish. I mean, the obvious answer people would go to was, oh, black, white, and sure, plays part. However, the industry has always been a young artist game.
Mm-hmm.
And also, too, that Beyonce technically experimented with the sound.
True.
And I know several Beyonce fans that weren't happy with the project.
And plus, Taylor Swift is 32, Beyonce is 40, so...
It's a young artist game.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, but one point...
Pretty soon, Taylor Swift's not going to be able to do it.
Oh, you know what I mean? Hell no. But 1.3 to 1.5 million? I thought Adele was going to do that shit. She only did 700K.
Adele happy. Anybody trying to hear that shit?
Nah, but the reason why I tried listening to this album, I got to the halfway. It was too boring for me. It wasn't for me. But the only reason why I'm bringing it up is that the opening track, Lavender Haze, it was produced by Soundwave. And in my opinion, it was the best track on the album, to me.
You're coming in with different ears, though.
That too.
You know what I'm saying? Like
that too. I try to open my mind to it, and a lot of Taylor fans saying this is her most like personal album. It's like she has a lot of dark elements, and it does sound like that. But
I get it. Don't get it wrong. Yeah. I get it. But I knew I wasn't gonna press play. Yeah. However, the accolades, it's impressive.
You know, cause, and sometimes I just want to go, and if it's selling this much, I gotta go with my own ears. Like, okay, what's everyone hearing? And I'm like, I don't know what y'all are hearing, but I'm not gonna diss it. Just like how everyone was dissing fucking Honestly Nevermind. It was just like, it's not, don't say it's trash, just say it's not for you. You don't like attach to it. Don't call it trash. So, and it's funny, look on Twitter and barely anyone's talking about that 1.3 to 1.5 million.
Which lets you know that people are enjoying it in the real world.
Because like Dave Chappelle said, Twitter is not a real place.
No.
Shit. It's that simple. Anyway, shout out to Taylor Swift, though. That's a feat in itself. And Beyonce also announced that the Renaissance Tour is going to happen next year. Yeah, I guess they sold the tickets at a fucking Met Gala or whatever. Yeah, it's like 200K or some shit. So, two tickets and you get to meet Tina Knowles and shit. And yeah, I was like, oh, I guess. Let's see what else is going on.
Get the Amazon link for $10.
Shit, that's what I'm saying. Like with the Kendrick shit, y'all can just watch that shit on. You don't even have to go to the show. You can literally. I'm telling you, the Kendrick show on Amazon Prime, they show the entire show. I was getting ready for work. I was like, oh shit, let me watch Kendrick before I go to work. And then all of a sudden, I see fucking not Baby Keem, but the other dude. What's his name? Tiana. Well, whatever his name Tiana. Is. Huh?
It's not Tiana.
But I saw him, and I'm like, oh, this is how it's starting. Oh, okay, well.
I think that's how concerts start, though. You have an opener?
Yeah, the opener, but they don't show. No, but usually with shows like
that. Tiana Leone.
Yeah, Tiana Leone, and he came out. And I was just like, oh, wow, they're showing the whole show. Oh, okay.
Well yeah, it said Kendrick Lamar and the Big Step was with Baby Keem and...
Yeah, but they come out during Kendrick's set.
Tana Leone.
They came out during Kendrick's set.
I get it, but you already knew they were the openers.
Yeah, I didn't think they were going to show it. They usually don't do that shit. But, hey, if they're on PG Lang, it makes sense.
Yeah. All that was going
to
show.
Yeah. But that was great. That was a funny news when it comes to Drake. You know that fake Drake?
Yeah.
That's out there?
Yeah.
Yeah, his ass finally got a cease and desist.
Cease and desist.
About damn time. That nigga, that was some weirdo shit. I don't know why Drake let that shit go on for that long. Like, that nigga was making fake videos. He was doing interviews, posing as him. Like, weirdo shit.
I mean, I get it. You know what I'm saying? You could go make a living off that in Vegas. I'm supporting. However, there's just a line. And once you cross it with the actual person.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's when, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Better shut the fuck up.
And he didn't shut the fuck up. And they say he even made a diss track going at him. Rap it as Drake. Like, bro.
Yeah, he lost.
Lost his own identity. Like, yeah. Nigga. Other good news, Rihanna's coming back.
Oh my God! Okay, it's happening. Everybody stay calm.
What's the procedure, everyone?
Stay calm!
What's the countdown, Ben? What was the last one to drop?
To 2016 when Lemonade dropped Anti. No, I take that back. Her last Her last...
It's done 17 with Paul McCartney and Kanye?
No, her last feature was... Oh, you mean as a lead? As
just
a lead?
Anything that she...
Oh, no, her last shit was on the Party Next Door record. That was in 2018.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was her last feature she did.
4 years.
Yeah. And it's going to be on the Wakanda Forever soundtrack. And it was funny because they showed... Because when you see the promo, it says Wakanda Forever. And then they drop all the letters and you just see the R. And I'm like, oh, shit. Mm. So, yeah, she's... Yeah, as soon as she got the work she's going to do in the Super Bowl, she was like, I guess I got to work now.
Right. I guess I could stop making these multi-conglomerate houses in fashion and fragrance.
Yeah.
Let me go give the peasants some music real quick.
Off Marvel. And in DC news, oh man, this is a game changer. It got announced today that James Gunn is going to run DC Studios. That's gunshots right there.
And I've been waiting,
him and
baby.
Peter Saverin, they're going to be co-CEOs and he's going to handle the business, but James Gunn is going to control all the fucking creative aspect of it. Pretty much he's the Kevin Feige of DC now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a runner.
And pretty much when it comes to the Batman and the Joker universes, they're going to be handled separately in their own little section and shit that he's not going to touch that. But yeah, he's still, I guess, what's it called? Not Game of Thrones. Guardians of the Galaxy 3 is going to be the last thing he's going to be doing over at Marvel for the next 4 years.
Okay.
And they showed the trailer for the Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special, which is pretty funny because Kevin Bacon shows up. But yeah, man, that's a game changer right there. I'm like, oh shit, now it's like, this is like Triple H taking over creative for WWE.
Hmm.
Now shit's going to make sense over at DC.
Yeah.
Shit, man.
Hopefully.
Hopefully, huh?
Never know. it ain't James Gunn's fault. Somebody could always step in, and next thing you know, James Gunn is gone.
Yeah, they gave him a 4-year contract, so. But now, for the last time for 2 years,
I'm going to make the video and sync that shit up with the intro. I do it like it's Ghost. I'm playing the OG Big Rich Town. I play the nasty Big Rich Town.
The nasty.
Yeah. And then I mute the intro on House of Dragon and I play that.
And it goes, and it flows with it.
Yeah.
It really does flow.
Says, you're about to make me unleash the dragon. That's when the blood's flowing around.
Yeah. Like, y'all nigga gonna make me unleash the dragon. I don't really, really wanna. Ah, man. This was a finale right here.
Told you.
That was a finale. Because this time we didn't see Allison and all that, but this time it was pretty much all the cards were getting stacked because they about to go to war. What's her name? What's her name again?
Rhaenyra.
They said, yeah, you're the rightful queen. They put that shit on her crown and shit like that. Like, yeah, you're the queen of this. And then Damon was like, okay. He got all the soldiers together. Like, oh, no, y'all go. We're going to war right now. And then her fucking kids just had to fuck it up. When the, I guess they tried, what's it called? Her son tried to go over to the other side and try to pick up one of the dragons. And Aegon was being a fucking asshole. And he was fucking with him with the other dragon. Like, he was trying to, like, prank him and shit like that. And then the dragon was like, oh, you want to fuck around? And he found out and ended up killing the little boy. And he had that look on his...
What, 13 years old?
Yeah, boy. Yeah, he kind of turned and looked at the camera like, oh, shit, I done goofed. Like, yeah, you started a war. Because she wasn't going to go to war. She didn't want to go to war. You remember? That's what we're making.
And I've been waiting, baby.
That's what Rhaenyra did.
Just imagine that scene ending in this playing.
How she turns and looks at the camera and shit.
Yeah.
War ready.
Oh, but if eyes could talk, it'd be this line coming up right here. Silence.
Yeah,
I gotta turn that down. Jeezy went crazy.
Yeah, he did.
That first collaboration that him and Ross came back together.
Yeah,
lost his fucking mind. Like, nigga, this is not your album.
Yeah. Yeah, when Aaron looked at that damn camera and she was like, it was like if eyes could talk, you heard that. I just heard Tupac saying.
It was not Wait For You.
She looked at the camera and was just like, I got my dragons right. Now I want war.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. That was a great fight. When I was done, I just sat back and I'm like, I was satisfied.
I was surprised to see the black guy wasn't dead. You wasn't dead after all.
Air the horns for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, boy. You ain't giving me sirens.
Not only was he not dead,
boy,
he came in, said, we got some moves to make. Anybody who don't appreciate the crown, chuck him.
Yep, and that's what Damon came in and said. Yeah, he wanted to make sure how you gonna fucking, he wanted to test your loyalty. Either you bow down or I'm gonna have my dragon burn your ass up.
Yeah, Corlys.
Yeah.
Corlys Velaryon.
He's about to get a spinoff show. They said that's a development.
Woo!
And I've been waiting, baby.
Niggas and the dragons.
Niggas and the dragons. It'll really be the dragon. Nigga. I'm really surprised.
Niggas in the dragon.
Niggas in the dragon.
That is powerful niggardry at work.
Today, yeah. Nigga gets on the dragon and invents Hennessy.
Oh, man. I'm surprised at how much
today, Nigga gets on the dragon and the dragon overcooks the chicken.
Oh,
and it becomes fried.
Oh, man. I was really shocked how much I really enjoyed that damn show, man. Like, I thought, like, again, in the beginning of the series, we were just like, nah, go watch it. And then they gave us the first episode, and I was just like,
There's blood.
There's blood, there's violence. And then the second episode, I was like, And then third, fourth, fifth, and I was like, okay, you got me. You motherfucker, you got me. Good shit. We gotta wait 2 years, but good shit. They said they might start filming, like, next year, and it might come out, but they gotta do those special effects and shit. No, that shit's coming out 2024.
That shit might come around right after the finals.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah, that was good shit. They said like the next season's gonna have the same like play like Game of Thrones, like how the episodes are, because you know how there was always like, you know, fast forward and shit like that. Nah, they said
This is it. This is Civil War.
Yeah, this was literally this whole season was a setup.
Right.
It set everything up. Good shit, man. I never thought I'd enjoy this shit again. Now to the Big Rich Town universe.
And I've been waiting.
I think we can put the claim down that, this is the best one in the Power universe. This might be up there in black TV cinema, period.
It really is, man.
Premium cable, what I'm talking about. Like, don't get me wrong, it's not there with The Wire.
No.
I'm not putting it there.
Mm-mm.
However, there was moments in this season finale that were Wire-esque.
Yeah, I felt that same shit too. Especially the ending when the Italians started showing up at all rock spots. I was like, oh shit. And I was wondering like, oh, niggas about to die. I thought Uncle Malvern was about to die. He didn't die, thank God.
No.
I couldn't kill it. I was gonna become a Black Karen. Courtney Kemp was gonna get every last one of these DMs. What are you doing? Hell nah.
Even though you don't even run the shit no more. Hell nah.
I don't know what you done did. You done fucked up now. What you mean, Uncle Marvin gone?
Yeah, when he got shot, I was like, oh no. And then, oh boy, opened the fuck. I was like, thank you, God. Okay. And that was the last we saw of him. I'm like, okay, he's still alive.
Yeah, did you notice the full circle moment in that?
That was a full circle moment.
Remember when he first went to therapy and the guy in the wheelchair was testing him? Like, and that was...
Yeah! Oh, shit, yeah! And he gave him that shit, and as soon as he saw him, he's like, yo, come in.
Yeah.
Yeah!
There was a lot of full circle moments if you didn't catch in this episode. I want to see if you can think of any full circle moments, other ones. There was more.
Well, you pointed this out before earlier when the singer said, single to her mom, like,
oh,
I'm not going to...
Oh, no, I'm not... Well, yeah, that.
I'm not going to die from this music. And then she ends up... Bah, 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 bah. What was the other
one? No, I'm talking about they were complete opposites from when what they looked like in episode 1 of the season and episode 10. They ended up on opposite spectrums, which is another example of great story writing, because your characters are not supposed to be in the same place when the season starts, when the season ends.
When she got the house and how happy she was when she got that new house and shit like that. And then now
but it was empty.
It was completely empty. Yeah, now it's still empty. And now she's not happy about it.
No, what I'm bringing up is in the beginning when Kanan came back and the house was full with his family.
Yeah.
Now there's a brand new house which is supposed to secure everything for everybody, and it's empty.
It's empty. Yeah.
Nobody there. Remember, this one, Juke and Marvin weren't talking.
Mm-hmm.
This one, they and Kanan and Rock were talking. Yeah. Roles have completely reversed.
Mm-hmm.
Lulu feeling like he's found his way out, and then realizing there's no way out.
No. Oh, let's talk about that scene. Patina Miller, that's your name. Round of applause. She got her inner Denzel Washington on with that shit.
She did.
Oh, my God. I rewinded that dialogue because she said that shit from her soul.
Yeah.
Like, when she grabbed his face and said, "I owned you, nigga," and walked off. And Lulu had that look. I remember I was looking at Lulu. I'm like, "Yo, you about to cry in the car."
Somebody did this.
He had that look on his face like he was about to cry. I was like, he tried to play it off, putting the cigarette in his hand, like, "I'm not going to cry."
Yeah.
That was just, because she said, "I got to keep telling you this shit over and over and over again." Da-da-da-da. I was like, "Ooh, yeah, keep talking. Keep talking. I just love this woman so much." And then when she got shot, I'm like, "No, don't kill my baby, because I would have pulled a Karen too." Don't you kill my girl. No.
And then Unique stepped in.
Unique. I don't know if you saw that clip.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Joey Badass came in and saved the day. And then had his hand out.
Nigga said, make money. Shit hits the fan, we take money. Southside.
Yeah, that's what she sees at Southside. And then you hear 50 do his... You know, shit gets real when you hear... Or you start hearing 50's voice doing the narrating. Yep. And shit like that. And then in the end, he's like, "You know what it is. South Jamaica, Queens, bitch." And then it just goes black. And I was just like, wow.
Unique and the Thomases together.
Yeah, and they're gonna go after that Italian dude now. Man, sometimes I wish power did not.
Oh no, let's there's something else going on with the Italian. Let's talk.
What's going on with
Tony Danza?
Who's the boss?
Welcome to power.
Welcome to power. Motherfucker.
50 dropped that news and said he gonna be here season 3.
Yeah.
And then Sal, whatever his name is, walks in, and I was like, "Oh no, wait a minute!
That's Tony.
He's here,
Tony Danza, well, motherfucker!"
Yeah,
that's what I felt too. Like, "Well, motherfucker, Tony Danza."
And Tony Danza looked irritated as fuck at the company that was coming in. Like, "Wait a minute, you bringing this on my field?
Mm-hmm.
You take care of this shit and don't come back with it."
Mm-hmm. Wow, this show almost makes me wish like it wasn't associated with power.
We're forgetting something else too.
What
important?
What?
The evil Juke is coming.
Oh, yeah, because old girl got shot. I was shocked how it went down.
No.
What?
No, you when she caught up with homeboy.
Oh, yeah.
And realized that he set her up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she stomped the hell out of him.
She sure did. Beat the shit out of him.
And told the cops, "Oh, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? We just kicking it."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I'm not talking about her mom leaving. I'm talking about the full-fledged being physical with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, nah, she beat his ass.
Beat the shit out of him. It's funny, we both saw Kanan and Jukebox both show that savage side of them in the early stages.
Yeah.
In this... Motherfucker. I love this fucking...
I'm telling you, this is great story writing.
It really is.
And storytelling.
Yes, it is. Because you know where it's leading. That's the only thing that kind of holds it back. Because you know where it's leading to. You're just kind of curious. What about the extra pieces? What's going
to
happen?
There is no you know what it's leading to. There's many aspects I didn't even consider. So now everything's open.
Like what?
You know exactly what's going to happen. That's with Kanan and Juke.
Yeah.
This was, like they said, this was never about just Kanan and Juke. It's raising Kanan.
Raising.
So this is about their family.
Literally.
I don't know what happens to their family. I have fully submerged and let go of, okay, I know what's going to happen with Juke and Kanan.
Yeah.
This ain't about them. Mm-mm. This is about the family.
I have, if this show, if everything goes right, If everything goes right, if season three is great, I'm thinking maybe if this goes five seasons, I'm thinking ahead. We're gonna have a dialogue about where we're gonna rank this as one of the greatest like urban TV shows.
Yeah,
not just with Power. I'm just saying, period.
Like, this is by far the best one, and I said it last year. Okay, this got a feeling to it.
Yeah,
it was this awful. One, there's no talking anymore. Mm-mm. It's sealed. This is the premier one.
Yes, it is.
Rest in peace to Sam.
Yeah,
he should have known. Nigga fucked around and found out.
Yep, he sure did. It's hella funny. We say that now, then we see season three of fucking Ghost, and we're just like, this is the greatest shit ever!
Don't be wrong, it's entertaining.
Yeah.
But there is a difference between Rock and Monet.
Oh, clear difference.
And that's what...
Acting-wise, too.
That is the difference right there. Again, I enjoy it. It has the Fast and Furious feel. Mm-hmm. This shit just feels...
real.
Yeah.
It's Monet, Tasha, Rock... Tasha and Monet, the holy trinity of the Power Woman universe.
Yeah.
Man. And then, you know, Tommy has to figure out somebody.
Right. They keep dying.
Huh? They keep dying. He keeps losing his women.
Holly.
Lala.
What was her name?
Not Tasha. What was her name? Just call her Lala. Lala.
And an old girl in Forest.
Yeah, all of them died.
The holy trinity of the power leading deaths.
Off to that
moment. No, I can't forget Angie.
Oh, Angie. Yeah. I saw that scene earlier. Yeah!
Oh, yeah. Man, powerful.
Out of all the yells, you keep that one.
Let me see if I can find the sound of
that. Yeah, people, look that shit up.
Watch Power with us. They're not going to believe that that's what the sound was.
No, that's how, what's his name? Hardwick, that's his name. Hermione Hardwick, what's his name? Amari Hardwick, that's how he fucking sound. Look at it.
Look at this nigga face, man.
Well, the kiss. Motherfucker. Play it again.
Somebody did this.
Body just dropped. It's honestly why. Look, nobody else. I can't envision anybody else playing Ghost.
No.
But when they say this was nobody could pull this off, I always come back to the scene like, nah. I think somebody else could have did it. somebody else could have did that. Hell, I could have went and did that.
Oh shit. Speaking of him, he has
go out there and act. What do I say? Insert scream.
Insert scream. Just scream your pain.
Yeah.
Yeah! Like a cat, like a dying cat. Like, nigga, what?
Scream your pain.
Scream your pain. Like from, what's it called? Section 80? Know your pain. Scream your pain. Yeah! Oh, man. Yeah, speaking of him, he has a movie coming out with Kelly Williams.
Hmm.
Yeah, he's playing a football player. It's
gonna be oh, prime. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I see that shit. Like, shut up, Ghost.
Get back in the streets, Ghost.
Get back in the streets, Ghost.
You weren't no politician. It was all a dream.
It was all a dream.
In your case, go whip Tariq's ass, Ghost.
Go whip Tariq's ass, Ghost. Go back to the streets, Ghost. You know, don't play a football player, nigga. Go be a politician, Ghost. Oh man, he's forever gonna be attached to that damn show. That's wild.
Oh yeah,
for the rest of his life, he will always be Ghost. Tariq will always be Tariq.
He's gonna be laying on the field. Have some respect. I just had the concussion of my life.
When he said, "Have some respect," I just lost the love of my life
and to his wife.
And Tasha was like, "Wait. What?"
Oh, yeah. Top five greatest line in TV history.
And he said it so nonchalantly. and just walked off.
Nigga, and then nigga didn't just have that dog in him. Nigga
was the dog.
Yeah.
Yeah, when he pointed it, when he put his finger on her forehead, yep. It's like, yeah. That was, I thought that one was one of the most disrespectful things I've ever seen a man do to a woman.
It wasn't rehearsed either.
He just...
Tasha came on the podcast and said he just did it.
She's just nigga.
Yep, just did it. And that's why you see her act, that's her actual response. Like, they kept that take.
Motherfucker?
Yep.
Good shit. Yeah. All right, let's go to sports. Niner fans, I got good news and bad news. The good news. I want to start that off.
You got no worries at running back.
No worries. We let go of Tevin. I was going to call him Tevin Campbell. Tevin Coleman, which I'm going to kind of hate, but whatever. Why? Because we got a white boy. We got Christian McCaffrey.
McCaffrey.
Keep going, McCaffrey. Christian McCaffrey get traded pretty much all our draft picks to the fucking Panthers. And everyone kept saying, that's how a white boy run the football. And on paper, we got Christian McCaffrey. We got Elijah Mitchell that's coming back soon. We got Debo. We got Kittle. We got a lot of pieces together. We got Ayuk. You know, we got a lot of pieces. And we.
The downside is.
No. I'm building it. I'm the fan. And then we would.
Come on.
I'm building up. We go against Kansas City. And what happened? We took a nice, big, fat L. That's the bad news.
That ain't your bad news. Your bad news is your quarterback is Jimmy Garoppolo.
Somebody did this.
It ain't just the fact that you took an L.
Took a massive L. That was a demoralizing
L. It's an L because of Jimmy Garoppolo.
And the defense.
Defense is hurt. You lost a lot of defenders. Mosley's out.
It was Mosley, but a lot of people were back. Bosa was back. Everyone was back. And there was a lot of arm tackling. It was just a combination of shit.
Fam, the point is that Jimmy G looked very good going down the field and then just decided, well, how am I going to fuck it up now? And he did that several times.
Oh, yeah, I know. That's the bad news. And it's getting bad to the point where even fucking now you got, what's his name? You got Kittle coming out there going on press conference saying, hey, we got a whole stock of guys, and he listed everyone that I listed except for Garoppolo. Ayuk is saying, we got too many good players out there to just put up 24 points because Kansas City beat the dog shit out of us.
They don't have good defense.
At all. They have the worst fucking defense, one of the worst defense in the fucking league. Whatever.
One of the worst defenses, so much so that their offense has to actually play defense sometimes.
Yeah, they did. And after the loss of the Bills, they were overly prepared for us. So, yeah, we go against the fucking Rams. Whatever. I hope we win. I don't know. Like I said, we get what we deserve. I'm not mad.
I didn't get mad. Sounded agitated.
No, that's how I talk. I'm not mad. You know what I'm mad.
No, that's why I didn't say you're mad. You sounded agitated. Like, agitation.
That was an agitation. I was
just... Yeah, that. But you got a nice shiny toy, and then somebody runs right into it a few days later. That's what that was. Don't hide that. Well, I don't care. No, nigga, everybody was celebrating Christian McCaffrey, and then all of a sudden that ass whooping came, and it was like Christian McCaffrey don't solve a lot of shit, and we just lost the 2023 draft. It's okay to say it. You don't get to play that.
I'm playing it.
You don't get to play that. That's not, no. That ain't for you.
Yes, it is.
That is not for you.
Yes, it is.
Because you say you get what you deserve.
La 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 la.
No, you don't. That is not the song for that.
Hey. Yeah.
You still shot the playoffs. How's that? How are they breaking your soul? That's what I'm saying. That song makes no sense for you to play. Nah, turn that off before you get copyrighted at this point. That is not the song you play for that.
Whatever. It stops me from being angry, so that's why I like to.
Oh, it stops you from being angry. So like I said, that's agitation. Yeah, see? That's what I was saying. It stops me being angry, but that's not the right song to play for you.
What's the right song to play?
You got
to
figure that out for yourself.
Well.
But that don't match what you said. You start off the year saying...
We get what we deserve.
Right. I start off the year saying the Raiders are going to win the AFC West.
You did say that.
Yeah.
I mean, y'all won.
Okay, cool. Still 2-4.
It can happen. You can win the
Again,
AFC Championship.
Until it shifts where the Raiders are the third best team, but they're not the worst ranked team in the standings in the conference or the division. Yeah.
I mean, it could be worse. We could be Tom Brady.
And that don't even apply for the Raiders. I'll tell you who that applies for later. But we still got week 7 observations.
Yeah.
I was a dumbass for trading Kenneth Walker III.
She sure were.
I did not know that Seattle's offense was going to look like that under Geno Smith.
It's getting more spooky every week that Russell Wilson keeps struggling. And Pete Carroll, that nigga Carroll, and Geno Smith are having literally the same numbers that he was when Russell Wilson was there.
If they still had the Pro Bowl, Geno Smith would seriously be in contention for a position.
He's going to be in the Pro Bowl. That's the shit. That's pretty much what's going to happen. The way he's been playing, he could have comeback player of the year. Out of all the players, I did not think Geno Smith was going to be comeback player of the year. And I always liked him, right, too. I liked him when he was on the Jets, but he was injured prone and shit like that. So. Yeah.
Week 7 started off with niggas jumping. Jumping everywhere. Cardinals and Saints.
That fucking interception. Oh, when pissed off in slow motion, you see old boy like, oh my dick. Yep.
That is literally what that was.
That was the shot of the season. Yeah. Like, I don't care. That was beautiful. Yeah, Cardinals got their mojo back, even with fucking, you know, Kyle Murray cussing out his coach. I don't think he was cussing him out. He just told him to calm the fuck down. It's not cussing him out.
Yeah, that's... Look, man, you're going to have to understand... Not you, but people are going to have to understand... This is grown man playing sports.
He shouldn't do that.
Okay, but you want them to show passion. Make your mind up.
These are not high school students. These are not college athletes. These are grown ass men getting paid grown ass money. A lot of grown ass money. So they get after.
They got their grown ass money back was DeAndre Hopkins.
Oh yes, he did. Shit,
came out and looked. Yeah, he looked good.
Mm-hmm.
Just to say the least. That then led into Sunday.
Sunday,
a lot of stuff happened. Yeah, Tom Brady.
Man.
Somebody did this.
Yeah. I hope it was worth it.
I really hope. What, that 2-1?
Tom Brady lost to P.J. Walker.
XFL, P.J. Walker. P.J. Walker.
Yeah, and P.J. Walker deserves to be in the NFL. But we're bringing that up because just 2 years ago, not only was he in the XFL, but I believe Tyler Heineke, or Heineke, whatever the
Tyler
one.
Tyler Heineke, yep. Heineke.
Whatever.
Uh-huh.
Aaron Rodgers was supposed to go into D.C. and carry that out with a W. Didn't happen.
Nope.
The XFL, if they ever needed any kind of promotion.
Those two players are the vocal point.
Yeah.
They're the spokespeople for the XFL.
Yep.
The XFL program does work. So.
You never want to celebrate a player's pain, especially one that causes them to leave the season. Bryce Hall was ranked as probably the number one running back. He was obviously the number one running back taken.
Yeah.
His season ended, unfortunately, on an ACL injury. Ugh. So I am not celebrating his demise. Wish him nothing but the best. Come back stronger next year.
Mm-hmm.
I will just say, Doug Peterson deserved that ass whooping in week 6 for what he did with Travis Etienne.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Bryce Hall's injury ended up becoming my game.
Really?
Yeah. James Robinson got traded from the Jags to the Jets to cover that position.
Shit.
Which means Travis Etienne is wide open for running back one duties.
Hey. Good for you.
That one's going to pay off a little bit.
Yeah.
Mostert looks as a running back one again.
Yeah. And you see how healthy he is?
Yeah, when he got a lot of weapons around that could run faster than tornadoes.
You feel me?
Yeah.
And yeah, go to the Niners and it's like you get injured week 1. Then go to the Falcons, go to the Dolphins, you're good.
Yeah.
The fuck, man? Whatever.
Tua paid for those sins.
Shit.
Came back healthy, thankfully. Salute to him.
Still used his head when he was running, though.
Yeah, but you notice he got that ball out quicker.
Yeah, he sure did.
He was slinging that thing the first quarter.
You ain't gonna hit me!
Nope. He said nope. Who else played
Giants
on Sunday?
Giants are 5-1.
Still don't buy it.
Me neither.
They played the Jags.
6-1, actually.
Yeah, they played the Jags.
Yeah.
Hey, you want to know something great?
What?
This was the epitome of I can't lose. Mm-hmm. I will not lose.
Mm-hmm.
Travis Etienne ran, I think, for something like 25 or 35 yards.
Mm-hmm.
And the person attacking him was one of my linebackers.
Oh, wow. So
I got points throughout.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of those plays where it just everything works out tremendously. Still not buying it, though.
No, I'm not believing nobody in the NFC West, to be honest. Not that West, but NFC, period.
Yeah, Dak Prescott bike.
Yeah, they won.
Then, he looked good for coming back from a thumb, requiring thumb.
Yeah, surgery. They're on a bye week next week, right?
No, they already had the bye. They had the bye week six.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They go against the Giants next week.
Yeah.
Oh, that's going to be a game. We're going to see who's really the pretenders.
Right. Which means all my quarterbacks now are gone, or back from, there's no more bye weeks. Mm-hmm. So I could just transition between Jalen Hurts and Dak Prescott.
And then Jets won. Your Raiders won.
Yeah, beat the Texans.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Jacobs running like he want that money.
Yeah,
I'm not mad at him.
Mm-hmm.
Go get that bag.
Yeah, I guess I was busy and shit. I guess they blacked out the game over here in the West Coast. Well, in my area, they blacked it out.
I can't speak to that. Mm-hmm. I watched it.
And let's see. And when it comes to Monday Night Football,
there was there was another game that had some importance. Let me go back to that.
The Browns and Ravens?
No, that one did not have importance. I mean, it matters to somebody. It don't matter to me. I ain't give a damn.
I'm looking at Bengals and Falcons. Bengals won that.
There was one more that had... Oh, Colts-Titans.
Oh, yeah.
Matt Ryan's gone.
He's on the bench.
And they said, yeah, this wouldn't have had this. It doesn't matter if he was getting injured or not. We were putting him on the bench after this.
Damn.
Yeah.
Grand opening, grand closing.
Fam, Jonathan Taylor had one blast off game this year, and I traded him after that. Ever since then, he hasn't looked anything close to a running back one.
Shit.
Or not a running, like, he hasn't looked anything close to the league's running back one.
Shit.
The offense has just been
struggling.
Yeah.
That's
if you could even call it that.
Yeah, like just last year, I called them one of the wild card teams, my wild card pick. And then when they lost to the Jaguars, they were never the same.
Nope.
They were never the same.
Yes, they didn't start the year this year. Lost to the Jaguars. Not start the year, but you know.
I know, and now it's kind of just like, and now Matt Ryan, he's probably back up. Yeah, call it a career, homie.
Yeah.
He had a great career. Went to one Super Bowl. Blew it. Damn shame. Now to the Monday night game. Shout out to Justin Fields. That's the one quarterback I'm rooting for, Justin Fields.
Yeah, because it ain't started off good.
Mm-mm.
He had spurts and moments. He had a great moment in terms of under the flashing lights on Monday night.
He gets the pimp. The real story is
Patriots got a quarterback controversy.
That they do. With Mac Jones. And what's his name? Haley. What's his name again?
Bailey Zappi.
Bailey Zappi. Because I was like doing stuff and you were telling me
that Mac Jones came in and stunk up the whole damn game in the first three drives.
Mm-hmm.
Bailey Zappi got in there, his first drive was a touchdown.
Bill Belichick said, let's party.
Yeah.
And after that, it went downhill from there because he threw for three interceptions.
It don't matter. That, you know why it don't matter?
Why?
He wasn't supposed to be your starter this year.
He really was not. That's your draft. That's your number one draft pick. Shit, this is his second year too?
Yeah, and they kept saying in camp, Mac Jones doesn't look like he's prepared.
I mean, he
looks
was.
Looks like he's worse this year than last year, and last year he showed signs.
Shit, man.
That was with a report coming out of training camp.
Yeah, it was a report coming out of training camp, yeah. And yeah, sat his ass down.
Shit, Tom Brady should try to find a way to get back to New England.
I think he burned that bridge.
Shit, man. That championship? Belichick, yeah, how was that championship?
How's that, Jay? Was it worth it?
Yeah. I go to home my wife.
Like, home my wife? You got a black man, hold yours. Yeah, man.
Antonio Brown, boy.
Somebody did this.
Habitual. Line stepper.
He's finger pointer.
Snitch. I don't know why I said snitch. But still, like, bro, like, if y'all don't know, this dude has been antagonizing Tom Brady for whatever reason ever since word got out about how Tom Brady and his wife have been at odds. So he has a t-shirt out of him hugging Brady's wife after the Super Bowl, hella close and shit like that. Then he released a video, too, of that shit, too. And I'm just like, bro, with R&B music playing in the background. I'm like, bro, what are you doing? And then a picture came out of fucking him, of him FaceTiming Tom Brady with 6ix9ine.
Yeah. But that, we skipped over some moments.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We hella forgot about some shit. This motherfucker
was naked in the damn pool.
Jerking off.
Yeah, but... people say, oh, well, it's the comfort of his pool. No, he's in the hotel pool. Resort pool.
Yeah, throwing women in there, touching them inappropriately. Grinding up on women,
like, it just... man.
What? Damn, did that hit really change him? That one hit by, when he was still on Perfect. The Steelers? Yeah. Ever since that hit, he was never the same.
Maybe he was. Maybe it's always been like this.
Maybe. Shit, man.
He's just a wild boy.
Wow, and what's crazy is the team might sign him. That's the wild thing about it. They might still sign him. And he might still do good.
Oh, no, they're not doing that.
Not now, they're not. Hell no, they won't.
What are you talking about?
I'm just saying, you never know. They might some crazy team.
After what the step? No.
Now? No.
They got enough problems with CTE.
Oh, yeah.
And concussions. You think they want to bring somebody in that can do it by himself?
Yeah. No. And I think that was his last. Yeah. When he burned that bridge with the Bucks, when he just literally took his shit off and just started jumping in the air with his shirt off, I was just like, wow, okay. I mean, still make excuses for that nigga, too. That's the wild part.
Yeah.
I don't understand that shit. Niggas really make excuses.
I don't get it.
Me neither.
I'm not going to try to get it either. Shit's stupid of me.
Stupid? Yeah. Anyway, what else?
World Series is now in play. You got the Astros and you got the Phillies. I'm excited to see that. It's usually the times where I start checking in.
Yeah, same here.
Not checking in, but actually watching.
Watching. I forgot to mention one thing other shit that happened during the Niners game. It was a reunion.
That's right.
Yeah. They wanted to have a reunion of the 2013 Super Bowl team?
Yeah. 10-year reunion?
10-year reunion. Harbaugh was there.
Well, basically the 2012 team.
Yeah. Harbaugh was there. Some other players were there. Like bench players, not bench players, but Kaepernick wasn't there, Frank Gore wasn't there. I was like, and in my mind, I'm like, for what? We didn't win it. Like, what was the point? Like, for what? I know it's been 10 years, which is wild to me, but I'm like, for what? And then we fucking lose in great fashion in front of them. Yeah, just like Harbaugh, so I guess it makes sense. But. Whatever.
Man, if they had just listed it under anything else other than Super Bowl team.
Could have just said reunion.
Just the 2012 teams coming back together just to fellowship. That would have been like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, yes, there's only one Super Bowl winner, but there's really no shame in losing to the team that won the fucking Super Bowl. There's only two other teams that got the conference banner.
Mm-hmm.
So, in hindsight, and people will be like, oh, well, you shouldn't be celebrating. Look, there's only two people that got that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So, if you want to come back and say, yes, this was an accomplishment years down the road, sure. People get mad when you try to lessen the blow in the championship, and it's like, well, we did this, and it's like, you can't do this in present time. Nope. Let some time pass.
Mm-hmm.
So, if they want to do that, fine. But the 2012 team that went to the Super Bowl?
No.
Don't market it like that.
No. Dead ass. We fucking lost. When all you could have did was run the fucking ball in.
Yeah.
But no, you want to throw the fucking Crabtree. I'm never letting that shit go. That's the one thing I'm not letting go. Is that those moments. You could have ran it the fuck in. If I ever meet Kaepernick, that's exactly what I'm going to tell you. Why didn't you run it in? I know Black Power, all that shit. Nigga, why didn't you run it in? Just grab him by the throat. Why don't you run it in? Whatever.
Sounds like you're getting irritated.
A tad. Yeah. For that.
Yeah.
Not this year. Not this year, no. Yeah. Anything else?
The whole week of basketball went down.
Yeah. Warriors had their ring ceremony. Beat the dog shit out of y'all. But.
Sky's blue.
Sky's blue. Yeah.
I don't necessarily count it beating. The final score wasn't the tale of it. It was the Warriors doing what the Warriors do in the third quarter, and then they had to play the other three quarters.
Yeah.
So even with a Lakers team that looks like that, I wasn't too upset. I was like, okay, it's the Warriors. That's what they do in the third quarter. Not a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Still held their own to a point. Yeah. Then the second game happened. Clippers. It was like, okay, Russ looking like all first team defense. What the fuck? Because legitimately, he had two straight stops on. They tried to get the ball to Kawhi, and he just got him. Like, he positioned himself, got Kawhi out. The very next time that Kawhi got the ball, he forced Kawhi into a travel.
Oh, wow.
You're like, wow, Russ is doing something.
Then
I saw the stats for his offense because I didn't watch the game in its entirety because I was out at dinner with Hilgen.
Yeah.
Came home and was like, wow, he's really playing great defense. What else has he done to keep him in the game? And you realize that was all. Because on the other side, he was 0 for 11. And I said, oh.
Okay.
All right. Third game happened.
Uh-huh.
Don't even ask me about that. I thought they were playing at 6:30. So you can understand not necessarily my shock, but when I look down at my phone, I'm in football mode, and it's like, what was it? Jeremy Grant secures the Blazers' win on a layup. And I'm like, wait, they played right now?
And then I saw and I guess because it was a close game, and I saw the highlights. It was like the final seconds, and Russell Westbrook, instead of passing the ball to LeBron, he wanted to be a hero.
Nope, you have it all wrong.
Oh, what happened?
That context of that is all wrong. It ain't even about LeBron.
What's the context?
It is about common sense. They were up by 1 point with 27 seconds left, and he shot the ball with 18 seconds left on the shot clock.
Why did he do that?
It ain't got nothing to do with LeBron. He could have passed it.
And LeBron, yeah, because I saw the.
He could have passed it to the ghost of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, for all that mattered. It still would have been.
And
a better
LeBron
option.
Had that look on his face, like, "Why did you do that?" And then he had that. He was like, "Why did you do that?" And he was like, "Fuck my life." He had that "fuck my life" look on his face, like, "Wow." And I was like, "What? Why did he do that?"
I told y'all at the start. Don't ask me anything about the Lakers. I know what they are.
And now people are like, and now fucking Laker fans are like. Shouting at him, saying that he's trash and shit like that. And
I won't go that far. Mm. I'm still not going that far.
Mm-hmm.
All I'm saying is I knew exactly what it was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else that thought otherwise, I don't know what to tell you. You just have some high, dumbass hopes. Because I said as constructed right now, this ain't
you
it.
You said ninth seed at best.
Yeah.
Play in, ninth seed at best.
Yeah, as constructed. It don't look good. 0-3.
Sheesh.
It does not look good. And they have a hell of a stretch the next 7 to 9 games, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It don't look pretty.
Sheesh.
Meanwhile, they got to try to find something to do to not be at the bottom of the barrel and go last because we don't own our draft pick this year. Mm. We get one, but we don't own it.
Huh.
Meaning that they lose out and they become the worst seed.
Uh-huh.
And they get that number one pick. We ain't getting no Victor. It's going to the Pelicans. You put that 7-4 guy next to Brandon Ingram and Zion.
That's the Monstars.
Yeah.
That's some high. Yeah, hit them high. Hit them high.
It ain't even a fact of, okay, just try to lose out and we'll try to. No. You are fucked either way. I don't know what the front office was doing. I mean, you know, Rob Pelinka is that guy. I get it.
Uh-huh.
And it was a good. Again, I praise the signing of Patrick Beverley. I also said this to a friend. Patrick Beverley can't be your biggest signing of the offseason.
He really couldn't. He really shouldn't have been.
Like, Patrick Beverley as the fourth or fifth biggest signing of the year, you're like, okay, I'm all in. Because that means you had some big moves. No. I'm good with the pieces that were brought in, but they didn't do much to really alter. They added role players, which is great. You needed role players, but it wasn't anything like they added some strength. Like, okay, this is a definite... Well, fuck, adding a definite. They didn't move Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, you guys had
and
all.
And now he's taking the stance of he's trolling in the media.
Literally trolling to be there. He's like literally like he's, toxic.
Yeah, he's not engaged now. So now it's a matter of, okay, now you got to do something.
You have to get rid of him. You had all offseason to get rid of him, and you did not get rid of him.
Yeah. Then you got Utah, who was trying to tank to get Victor, and it's like, oh, shit, we're 3-0. Danny Ainge saw that shit, and he's like, oh, no, get the Lakers back on the phone. We'll take Russell Westbrook. Get these motherfuckers that keep winning games out of here. Wasn't the plan.
You think any team would want Russell Westbrook?
Yeah, because you could buy him out. Mm. You don't have to. He's on the last year of the contract.
Oh,
Lakers
damn.
Can't buy him out because then it turns into dead money.
Oh, and
you
damn. Won't
be, so it doesn't matter. You can get rid of him, but you can't use the money. It's dead cap. That's where the Lakers fall short on.
Mm.
On top of that, you don't want to trade him because I get the fact that you don't want to give away draft picks because we're almost done with the Anthony Davis deal in having full control over our picks again.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of these teams want the first rounder to go in. It's like you're just I get the double-edged sword. On one hand, it's like, who gives a fuck about the picks?
Yeah.
On the flip side, Rob's looking at it like, okay, well, you ain't asking anybody else for their picks.
Mm-hmm.
So you trying to tax us.
Ugh. Damn.
It's nasty out here. So as far as I'm concerned, basketball can stay on mute.
It's well, goddamn.
Yeah. I don't care. Basketball just going at this point. Yeah. Oh, look at Klay Thompson. He ain't playing basketball. He want to go to the UFC. That's what I see.
He looking pissed off.
Yeah, that's what I see. I don't see nothing about basketball here.
He looking pissed off, too. Something must have happened.
Right, that's why, that's why I actually take offense to you playing You Won't Take My Soul. You came in there saying you get what you deserve, and that left any opportunity open for anything. I told you what was going to happen with the Lakers.
You did.
That is not the same.
We are not the same.
No.
Not the same. Playing seed. I mean, hey, man, I don't know what to say. I mean,
protect your mental. Yeah, just, hey, you don't got to worry about that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying, that's why you don't play that record when you're talking about the 49ers.
I get you.
You left the opportunity for hope.
Left the opportunity for hope. What do you mean?
You said you get what you deserve.
Oh, yeah.
That doesn't necessarily mean all bad.
Yeah,
that's hope. You can still find a way to pull around to make it a memorable season.
Exactly.
Ain't no memorable about that shit with the Lakers.
There ain't nothing memorable. Oh, no, there isn't.
But they're still on the second leading most national televised games this year. So it's all going to be televised.
Your demise will be televised.
Not on my TV.
Not
on my watch.
You said you could already tell what kind of game it is just by the first minute or whatever. I remember you said that.
Oh, yeah. I could always tell.
Yeah, I could kind of tell that about my Niners, too. I could tell exactly after the first quarter or first series. I'm like, yep, I know what this game's about to be. Okay. So, yeah,
it is. That's the thing. Football's so unpredictable.
That too.
You can't say that. Like, I get what you're saying.
Mm.
You just know your team. I'm telling you, in basketball, there's no. You can't deny effort. You either got it or you don't.
True.
You can switch that shit around in football in the second half because it just takes a few momentum drives.
Mm-hmm.
Basketball, you ain't got that shit in the first. Nah, you was fucking around outside the night before.
Yeah,
that's all you was doing. All right.
True that. When's the Texans Browns game? What week? Like week 11?
December, I think.
Yeah, that's gonna be a primetime game. Yeah. I bet you that's gonna be a primetime game. It'll be the return of the Nasty Man. Yeah. I just popped in my head right now. Well, we got World Series coming, basketball going, football going.
College football, they're about to announce the first ranking of the playoff pretty soon.
Yeah, because the way the rankings are going, the ranking on the Associated Press keeps changing every fucking week. I've never seen that shit happen before.
That happens.
Like, changing ranks like that? As much as that be popping up on my fucking phone for ESPN, it's like, oh, look at this great, unprecedented change. And I'm like, oh, shit.
It may not change to that degree, but, like, you'll get one or two teams out the top four that always change.
Yeah.
Didn't Nick Saban say he's retiring?
That was fake.
That's what I figured.
Yeah, that was fake. Because if he was retired, that would have been fucking national news.
Yeah.
That nigga ain't going to be
here. I ain't hear shit about that anywhere.
That nigga was up 30-0 during one of the games, and he got pissed. I think he was up during the game. It was like 30 or 40-0, and then one of the players fucked up. and he just went off.
Yeah.
Oh, no, this nigga Klay chopped... Going off on the fucking ref?
He gone.
Oh, he gone.
Told you, he won the UFC.
Like I said, I got my rings. Fuck you niggas. Damn. He big mad, too. Yeah. Anyway, anything else?
What else you got?
That's it. That was it on my shit. We pretty much touched on everything.
Yeah.
This is episode 279.
278.
We're getting closer to the 280s. Of the most consistent podcast of the year. Yeah, we good.
Give me a hell yeah.
You can always hit us on Twitter. Shout out to Mr. Fab. You can follow me, Mr. Busby, at 4lowercase08. You can follow us on Twitter at TLogicalSP. You can always follow us on Instagram at TLogicalSense. And of course, on the Facebook.
And on all social media, you can follow me at JCNo. Finally getting cold. I like it.
Yes, it is.
I like this.
Yes.
This is my kind of season.
I went to like empty out the trash and all that, and I felt like, oh, it's a bit nippy out here. I might need to get a hoodie.
Yeah, when I took the Take the trash out the next morning before I had to go out, and then every time I go to work, it's still dark, and I'm like, oh yeah, it's that time.
So you get, it's the like, feeling. It's like from Batman, when Batman gets his suit out, it's like the hoodie. Like, oh, get the hoodie.
Even I never stop wearing hoodie.
Me neither. Me neither.
Where I actually work at inside, it's pretty cold, so I need my hoodie.
That makes sense.
But, nah, that's the problem that fucks me up. I be inside all the damn time. You're like, okay, this is nice degree weather. Walk outside, it's like, wait, why is it 82 out here? What the hell's going on?
Make up your mind, Mother Nature.
Yeah, but nah, it's here. I saw the next 10-day forecast. High 60s, low 70s. I said, don't you change. Keep it the same.
Wow, and just to end this shit off, Antonio Brown is going to stay with fucking Donda Sports. He just released a statement right now. As a president of Donda Sports, I remain.
Nobody cares.